The Parshas Vayishlach is a parsha of the Jewish struggle. It's the struggle against Esav, a physical struggle, and it's a struggle against Ruchnius, it's Yaakov against the spiritual struggle. And many, many times in Jewish history, you know, Klal Yisrael have been through various different goddess and been through different times and had to meet ministers. And it's brought down in Chazal that before they went out to greet and to try and negotiate for the Jewish side, they used to read through Parshas Vayishlach and find out the skills that Yaakovina used, the tefillah, the doyer, and the bribery, the milchama that Yaakovina used in order to make sure that they're successful. So this week's parasha really is a parasha of Jewish survival against Goyim and Jewish survival against spiritual adversaries as well. Okay, I'd like to focus on one particular parasha this week, and it talks about the Yaakovina struggle in Perik Lamed Beis. Posuk Chof Hei. So Yaakovina basically crossed over. He was alone to get some vessels that he left over. Vayvasa Yaakov levadoi. Yaakovina was left alone. Vaye ovek ish imoy adolis hashacha. And the ish, this man fought with him. Vaye ovek. Loshon what ovek means? Either ovek means of dust, that the dust was such a struggle that dust, they kicked up dust, or it means a loshon of connection of hugging each other, okay, whatever that means, until the morning. It was a long, bitter struggle. And eventually this ish saw that he was not able to overpower Yaakov. And he touched Vayiga, and he managed to affect him, his kaf yerech, meaning his thigh. But take a kaf yerech, Yaakov ofke imoy, and he fought. Vayomer shacheini, he said to him, please send me away, ka'ola hashacha, now is morning. Vayomer le'eshoch ki berachtoni, I'm not going to send you away until you give me a bracha. Vayomer elav mashmech, vayomer Yaakov, my name is Yaakov, vayomer lo Yaakov, yo'ichmech, your name's not Yaakov, ki misrol, ki sariso im alehim, vayomer noshim atuchol. Because he fought with Elohim. Now who's Elohim? So over here it's brought down already, it's very clear that this ish that we're referring to over here is not referring to a physical struggle between man and man, but it was actually the Sorishal Esau, which means in every nation has a ministering angel up in Shemayim that helps them to help them forward with what they need to do. And this ish over here, this it was a malach, a Sorishal Esau, and the Sorishal Esau was out here to come and overpower Yaakov. That's poshut. Okay, now the question is, Rabbi Chana Vassman asks, if that is the case, why is it that this Sorishal Esav, in other words, Avraham Avinu did not have that many enemies. Lot had enemies, he did not have that many enemies. Okay, at certain stages he had, but Yitzchak also, yeah, Avimelech he had his fights here and there, but he never had enemies. Therefore it makes sense that no enemy actually came along and started fighting with Avraham and Yitzchak, if it's a physical enemy. If we're though dealing with a spiritual enemy, a Sorishal Esav, which is actually the Satan, or the Malach HaMoves, or the Yetzirah, why is it that he waited until Yaakov came into the picture to start struggling and fighting with Yaakov? Why did he not challenge Avraham and Yitzchak? It would have been much better to wipe off the Jewish nation earlier on, not risk the fact that you survive Avraham and Yitzchak and come to Yaakov. Why did the Malach only find it important to fight with Yaakov? Number one. Number two, when a Pasuk says that he was not able to affect Yaakov at all, why does a Pasuk say, however, he managed to injure him? If you're not able to win over somebody at all, you're not able to injure them either. Injuring means you have some kind of influence, you have some kind of power to do something that a person does not want done to them. Right? And therefore, he saw he's not able to do anything to him, but he injured him, and therefore injured him. What was he trying to do beforehand? What was he trying to do beforehand if he was trying to injure? What was he trying to do? What's this idea that he managed to get that? Number three, why dafka the thigh? What's the idea behind the thigh dafka that he managed to get to that? Okay, the Baltum is one shot. Let's follow through carefully with this. So Rabbi Chana Vassman said that he heard from the Chofetz Chaim this many, many times. And he said, I'll say this in Yiddish. The Yetzirah daiget nicht. Ob ein Mensch macht chassodin ganzer Tag, ein Mensch daven den ganzer Tag, oder ein Mensch faste ganzer Tag. The Yetzirah does not care one least little bit if a person davens a whole day, a person fasts a whole day, and a person does mitzvahs a whole day. One thing bothers him. Ob ein Lent. One thing bothers him if we learn. What bothers the Yetzirah more than anything else in the world is if you learn Torah. You can cry, you can sit in a shul and say to him the whole day, the Yetzer will leave you alone. You can fast, you can do tzedakah, you could work in the hospital. All these things are wonderful, wonderful things to do. It doesn't really bother the Yetzer. He doesn't really get to him. But what gets to him is sitting down and learning. That is when it's going to get to you. You know, a person can be a great guy the whole day long. Yeah, you can do chassadim, you can do the chassadim in the house, out the house, you can daven, but to sit down and learn for an hour, that is when it really gets challenging. The phone calls all start coming in and you get tired. That is when it gets challenging. What's the idea behind that? So the idea is like this, says Rabbi Chanon, and brought from the Chofetz Chaim. Yaakov Avinu was different to Avraham and Yitzchak. Avraham represented chesed. Avraham represented chesed. You know what I mean? Anyway, can I just type down a little bit? All bad, but it's going to affect the recording. Avraham represented chesed. Okay? If you've represented chesed, it's got to be done in a way that it's going to make chesed on a worldwide affair to represent Jewish values. Yitzhak can deal with that. Yitzhak, the Oyla Tamimi, can deal with that. Yaakov was a masmid. Yaakov, who spent 14 years in Shem Eva, never slept on a bed. I've got to attack him. And you know what? I don't even trust Esau to do it. I don't trust Eliphaz to kill him. The Sorishal Esau, are going to come down in a human form and battle that out with Yaakov. Because if he survives, it's all over. The Gemara says that Avera Mechaber Mitzvah. An Avera can destroy a mitzvah. A person does an Avera, it can destroy certain mitzvahs. Ve'ein Avera mechaber Torah. But an Avera cannot destroy Torah. In other words, if you have Torah, no Avera can ever take that away. Mitzvahs can get wiped away with another Avera. If you have Torah, no Avera can do that. The Yetzer Hara panics. The Gemara says that if the in Pogim and Achom Manuvel there, if this despicable person comes to attack you, Moshcheyu lebeis medrash, schlep into the beis medrash. Im Evan hu nimuach, if he is a stone, he will melt. Ve'im Bazel hu mitzpotzetz, and if he is metal, he will shatter. Which is completely unnatural. A stone shatters, and iron melts. And then the Gemara says, no, Im Evan hu, if he is a stone, he will melt, and if he is metal, he will shatter. Because Torah has ability to supernaturally destroy something that isn't even sensical. It can destroy Yetzer Hara, something that is beyond our imagination. That's the koyach of Yetzer Hara. We all know that on Rosh Hashanah, you know, we have the Yetzer Hara and he panics when he hears a shofar. Why is he panic when he hears a shofar? For hoy ba yoyma hu yitoka ba shofar gadol. When Mashiach comes, HaKadosh Baruch is going to be shachat malach amoves. He's going to shech the malach amoves. He thinks that day has come. However, there's nothing like the fear he has when he hears, the Vilna Gaon says, nothing he has more fear than hearing a person learn Torah. Because when a person learns Torah, that koyach of Torah is even stronger than a shofar, because he knows he has no power to do that. The Gemara says, that vita kodesh baruch hu, lavoyin gila royis, shvichas tomen aveda zara, the three averis chamuros, the three terrible averis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't mind. To an extent, obviously, right? But avoyin bittul Torah, when he has bittul Torah, a person doesn't learn Torah, that is something that's going to destroy the world. And that is why the Yetzer Hara panicked, and he could not allow Yaakov Avinu to continue. He could not allow Klal Yisrael to be born with the power of Torah. And that is why he attacked Yaakov. Rebbe Eliashiv says, and I quote what he says, Mikan, shkol hanoisin es yodom, anyone who puts their hands, to try and affect those people who are learning in the yeshivas, shluchoi soroi shel Esav heim. These people are directly the shluchim of the soroi shel Esav. Anyone who attempts to get people out of learning is a shliach of Esav. Now, not going into exactly the world events now, everyone could take conclusions for their own conclusion. The idea is, if it's a need to sit and learn, one has to learn. There's plenty of other needs. Panosa is a very, very important element of life. People have to be responsible. People have to make a panosa. People have to look after a family. It's very important. There's certain parts of political life a person's got to get into. Absolutely. You know, we can't ignore the fact that we're living in a physical world. But what we do have to understand is, if somebody's out to close yeshivas for the sake of closing yeshivas or stopping people from learning, then that is malach of Soros Shel Esav. And I'll tell you an incredible, incredible story. It's brought down in a sefer called it's called Yosef Lekach. A beautiful story. A beautiful story. The story takes place in a time of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, there was a boy who lived in a place called Slutsk. Slutsk was a very well-known city. And this boy was the kid that all the teachers had nervous breakdowns from. He was called Yosla HaShavav, Yosla the Terror. And this kid, at a young age, he went round and made everyone's life a misery. It's brought down in more detail in another story. He took the chickens in town, the white chickens, and dumped them into black paint, and people didn't recognize them and had a whole dinner toro whose chickens it belonged to. He went round and he terrorized the city. Kid, but he clever kid, right? That's a problem. At the age of 12, he was passing by a house and he hears a father yelling at his son. And he says to his son, if you carry on the way you are, you're going to be like Yosla the Shavav. You're going to be like Yosla. Is that what you want to be? That's what your life's going to be like? He heard that and he stopped in his tracks. He said, this is ridiculous. Adkan. You know, if people are using me as a paradigm of bad chinuch, of what it's going to be, I have to stop. That's it. It's all over. He went back to his father and said to his father, I'd like to go to yeshiva. His father said, yeah. Of course, yeah. No, Dad, I really want to go to yeshiva. He said, yeah, which yeshiva do you want to go to? Volozhin. He said, Volozhin? First of all, you're too young, you're 12 years old. Second, to get into Volozhin, you've got to know two Sidorim of Shas in order to get into Volozhin. You had the Noshim and the Zikin, you got tested the Noshim and the Zikin to get into Volozhin. How are you going to go to Volozhin? This kid said, listen, I am going to Volozhin. He packed his bags and he traveled from Slutsk to Volozhin. He came to the yeshiva and Chaim Volozhin was there. And Chaim Volozhin saw this kid and he saw the fire in his eyes. And he said, I'm going to take care of this child. And he got him Rebbe to teach him Chumash and teach him Mishnayis and to teach him Gemara. By the age of 15, he was one of the boys in the yeshiva who was one of the Kibbutz Shmoyne Esrei, one of the group of the 18. What's that, 18? His boys went 18 hours a day. And he learnt, and he learnt, and he learnt, and he learnt. And he became a Masmid, he became a Talmud Chochem. One day he gets a letter that from his mother, who sent him very sporadically letters, you got to come home. What happened? Your father's shop burned down. It burned down, and therefore we needed to come home in order to help with Parnassa. He goes to Reb Chaim, he says, Reb Chaim, listen, what are we supposed to do? I'm learning over here, my parents call me home, and they need me to help with Parnassa. What am I supposed to do? Reb Chaim says, leave it. Don't manage, leave it, carry on learning. Carries on learning. 3 months later, another letter comes. His father is seriously ill. He can't help more with Parnassa. Come home immediately. The family's falling apart. Chaim Volozhiner says, they'll manage. They'll manage. Leave it. They'll manage. Again, everyone's going to ask their own shilus, and he can't take the story as a prime example for every case. He said, I'm just telling you, leave it. They'll manage. Listen to this. 3 months after that, he gets a letter that his father was nifta. His father passed away. And his mother needs him back home to keep the family going. He's her only son. Need you back home. Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, sit shiva over here. Sit shiva over here and carry on learning. He's amazed. What kind of thing is this? It's chzorius. Mother calls you home. I'm telling you, on my achrayus, my responsibility is sit and carry on learning. After many years, he did. He carried on learning. He became a tremendous Talmud Chacham. It doesn't say what his name was, who this Reb Yosla was. It's different to any other art scroll book, by the way. Art school book, you know, everyone's born a complete tzaddik, you know, at the age of 5, you're already learning Zohar Kodesh. But he was a chevraman. He comes back, Slutsk send a letter to Reb Chaim Volozhiner, they need a rov in town. Please send us a rov. Reb Chaim Volozhiner takes this boy, and he takes him back to Slutsk, and he said, Rabbi, do you recognize this person? Nobody recognized him. At that time, he was a Talmud Chacham. He said, this is Yosla Shavav. The old people remembered him, and still shivered and trembled when they heard his name. He said, look at him today. Reb Chaim Volozhiner said, this is your new Rav. You're lucky to have him. And let me explain to you something. Yossi, you never understood this. Let me explain to you something. When you were learning, the Yetzer Hara understood that we've got to stop you becoming the next Rav of Slutsk. And he had a permission to burn down your father's shop. The Yetzer Hara had permission to make your father ill. The Yetzer Hara had permission to kill your father, all in order to stop you learning. Now your father is delighted that you're Rav of Slutsk. The town is delighted to Rav of Slutsk. And he said like this, listen to the words of Chaim Volozhiner, you should just know that if push comes to shove, if necessary, the Yetzer Hara had permission to burn down the whole city just to make you Yosla leave yeshiva. This is what the Yetzer Hara would do. Would burn down a whole city to get one bocha out of yeshiva. This is the desperation the Yetzer Hara has to make sure Torah is not learnt. He can do anything else, mitzvahs, Torah, mitzvahs, chesed, it's all wonderful. But what breaks him is Torah. And anything possible in this world now, this is a struggle, the final struggle before Mashiach comes. As you'll see, the politically, the financial markets, anything is done today is in an attempt to, in each person's life, to make sure that they learn that little bit less. Yeah.
Shouldn't you keep your head down and learn less? If your Torah is just going to take it out on you.
You can surrender. You can surrender to the Yetzer Hara and say, "That's it. You know, it's all over." But you're not going to grow. You're not going to become the Rav of Slutsk. Yeah, you're not going to become somebody who is worthwhile, who's going to be leading the Jewish people. And even if not leading the Jewish people, leading your own life, getting your own Olam Haba, building your own family. That's a koyach of Torah. Let me move on. The Yetzer Hara has an ability, as we said, to burn down a whole city just in order to get one person out of learning. And he will sometimes. It's an incredible Chavis of Ovis. The Chavis of Ovis says, it's Mechemes HaYetzer V'Chayolov. The Yetzer Hara has, it's a war of the Yetzer Hara, a war of the Yetzer Hara and his army. Who is the Yetzer Hara's army? Who is the army of the Yetzer Hara? The Gemara says in Chulin of Tzadi Aleph Amad Aleph that the Yetzer Hara appeared, that the Sorishal Esav, who came over here, appeared to Yaakov Avinu. There's Machlekes in the Gemara how he appeared to Yaakov Avinu. What did he look like? When he came down, what did he look like? Yeah, so I imagine he looked like, you know, Bin Laden. That's how I imagine he looked like, Bin Laden, right? Probably came with a turban. Yeah, old traditional turban with the robes, with a MK, whatever it was, right? And the locket rauncher. That's how I imagine Sorishal Esav. Yeah, so other people imagine him like, I don't know, like you know, a skinhead. Yeah, from I don't know, whatever it is. How did he look like? The Gemara said there's four different explanations how he looked like. One said he looked like an akum, he looked like a goy. One said he looked like a Talmud Chochem. He came to him looking like a Talmud Chochem. The other one said he looked like a Roy Etzoyin, he looked like a shepherd. And the fourth one said he looked like an Ishmael Chomer, he looked like a warrior. Looked like a fighter. What are these four expressions, what do they represent? So David Heksher, Mashgiach of Kol Torah, says this. He said the Yetzer Hara has to custom make his fight against each person. What will work with one person does not work with another person. The first way he appears is like an akum. An akum is a oyved kechom velinim, a person who's oyved azad, a person does not believe in Hashem. That is, the Yetzer Hara comes along and says to him, "You've got time to learn now. Do me a favor. If you learn now, what's going to be your panasa? You've got 2 hours a day to learn. You know the income tax is going up? Do you know the ma'am is going up? Are you aware that the petrol prices are going up? If you learn now these 2 hours, then you're going to be, you know, you're not going to manage. You know, I, Hashem, Hashem says if you learn, Hashem, do you really know there's a Hashem? He comes to him as an Akum, he comes to him as an Oyed Avodah Zarah. There is no Hashem. That is his first guise, trying to shake your Munah and Betochen, that if I learn, the world will continue, and it will continue even better if I learn. That's the first way. The second way is like a Talmud Chochem. A Talmud Chochem is somebody who knows there's a Hashem, and he knows how important Torah is, but he comes to you as a Lamdan. He comes to you and he says to you, "Listen, you know that Yofa Torah im derech eretz." And he comes to you and he says to you, "You know, but Tzadsheni is Torah is not something that is mitzvah potim and a mitzvah." And he comes with all clever rias. The Rambam also learned, yeah, and he was a doctor. Yeah, but I'm not the Rambam, and I can't be a doctor and learn at the same time. Yeah, the Rambam, of course. Yeah, but I can't study in university now for 7 years and come out like the Rambam. Yeah, it's not me. So I have to do what I can. And he'll come with all different rias. That's a Talmud Chochem. The third one is a Roi Tzoyin. A Roi Tzoyin is compassionate. He's calm. He's rachamim. Look at you. What now? You're coming back from a chasna 11 o'clock and now you're sitting down to do Daf Yomi? Come on. Look after yourself. Look after your health. You know, what's going to be? Roi Tzoyin. You know, looking after the sheep, skittle stroke. You know, oh, getting up early for Daf Yomi. Do you know, come on. It's cold outside. You can catch a cold. Roi Tzoyin. Yeah, that's a Roi Tzoyin. The third one is a Mulchome, Ishmael Chome. Ishmael Chome just comes across to you and he just fights you in every extent. He cuts your panosa, he throws you out of your job. He takes away your money, he takes away this. He does everything to fight you, he completely bombards you with different Yetzer Hara. That is the four ways the Yetzer Hara comes along. And the obligation of a person is to ensure that every single one of those ways he has a tactics and a deal and knows how to deal with the Yetzer Hara in their particular way. The Yetzer Hara knows. The Yetzer Hara knows that with the Bnei Torah. that Baruch Hashem, with the Bnei Torah, the Torah has never been as strong as it is today. You look around, there's not as many people learning today in yeshivas, in Eretz Yisrael, all around the world. There's never been as many people as since the time of the Churban Bayis. Are you aware of that? In Eretz Yisrael, the estimated people who are learning a full day are 120,000 people learning a full day. There's never been that amount of people since the time of the Churban Bayis. And yeshivas are only growing, k'nai nohara, b'li ayin hara. What was decimated during the Holocaust 60 years ago, Ponovich, Mir, Brisk, Slabodka, all these yeshivas go today, packed, Hebron. Yeah, Hebron, it was the massacre. And they came back and struggled back to Yerushalayim, packed. So the Yetzer Hara saw lo yochaloi. The Yetzer Hara knows that to go along directly against his people are learning is not going to have a very hard time. So what does he do? He kaf yerech Yaakov. He goes along and tries to win over the kaf yerech. Was it kaf yerech Yaakov? Said the Zohar Kodesh, or those people who support Torah, like the kaf, like the thigh, supports the human being. That is who goes. He goes along and makes a worldwide recession. He cuts the stock markets. He pulls the property prices down. He makes a worldwide recession. And he says, "Look, I'm going to try and bombard the Torah. It doesn't work. You know what? I'll try and get those people who are supporting Torah. And these people don't know the importance of Torah to that extent. And I'll try and destroy them. Because if we destroy them, and they destroy their support, in kemach in Torah." That is the next war of the Yetzer Hara, worldwide recession. And he did that. If his ability to burn down a whole city, his ability, yeah, to make Madoff run off with who knows how many people, Shiva's money. He can destroy the financial world. And that is his next attack. His attack is on the financial world, or the Balabatim who support Torah. So he didn't manage to take the Talmud Chochma out of the yeshiva, so he attacked the Torah world, the people who support the Torah world. Now, I have to move on, I have to be very sensitive over here. Okay? One has to understand, before I give an introduction to the next thing, before you have to understand that there is an incredible amount of Lashon Hara that is said around the world, and there's an Issa to believe any form of Lashon Hara. Okay? Certainly, if it's against the Medei Chachamim, and it's certainly if it's against Odom Kosher, a person who have a track record of being Odom Kosher. To believe everything one reads on in a newspaper, or Chalila and Failed Messiah, blogs, or people who are out there to destroy Torah, yeah, that is something that is poshut, it's ridiculous, and it's something that is incredibly awesome. Having said that though, one has to understand as well that Talmidei Chachamim are human beings, and we have Kohanim and Gedolim who went 80 times Lifnei v'Lifneim, 80 times into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they came out ending a Tzedoki. They came as Sadducee at the end. Everyone has a Yetzer Hara, and a person does not believe he has a Yetzer Hara is the biggest risk. How does a Yetzer Hara have an ability to destroy the Torah world today? What is another level of attack, which is very, by the way, very successful? The Sefana brings down that how was he able to frighten Yaakovina? How was he able to struggle over him? So the Sefana says, in a few words, as usual, L'roiv lo yocholoi, L'roiv devei kusoi tomid v'keli yisparach v'machshova b'dibor. Because Yaakovina was so connected to Hashem with his machshova, with his thoughts and his speech, he was not able to win over him. Vayega, he managed to attack him. How? Hoidia hachet ha'osid, he revealed to him the sin in the future, b'madrichei amoy, or the people who will be leading his nation. U'badagosoi b'zeh, and because he was so worried by seeing how the Jewish leaders will fall, some of them in the future, posak hadibuk, he stopped his connection with the Bonus Shleilam, v'toka yaf kaf yerech be'ofkoi, and that is how he had his second away. He was not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is how he managed to grab that moment and affect him. In other words, Yaakovina was totally connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yetzer had to shock him, and he shocked him by showing the sins of the leaders of the Jewish nation in the future. That was so terrible to Yaakovina, for that moment he stopped, and that moment he grabbed the opportunity to injure him. Asif Chenech Lebowitz, Rashiva of Chofetz Chaim, why did the Yetzer not show him the Churban Bayis Rishon? You want to terrify Yaakov Avinu? Show him the Churban Bayis Rishon Mesheni, how the Beis Midrash were destroyed. Show him the Inquisition. Show him Chelmanetsky and the Cossacks. Show him the Holocaust. Show him people burning. Give him a vision of people, of Jewish people, women, men, women and children going up the chimneys. Why did he not show him that? Why did he show him that in the future there'll be a few Talmid Chachamim who unfortunately will misbehave? Why? If that's what you need, use that as your attack. You know, it's a struggle. This is the final knockout. Use that. So he says that this, seeing Jews being destroyed, seeing Jews suffer, seeing Jews burnt, is not the end of the Jewish nation. We can rebuild. Those people who suffer by it get a tremendous chedek in the Olam Haba, but we can rebuild as we've seen today. We can grow and we can become strong again. These people will always be missing. We'll never understand why the Holocaust happened, but we have ability to restart and to regrow. That's a clear Klal Yisrael have. But what we don't have the power to do is, if we see Jewish leadership weak, if we view the Talmid Chachamim as being, they're also human, I'm human and they're human, they have their weaknesses, I have their weaknesses, and we see them as not having the ability to lead Jewish nation, the Jewish nation is over. We do not have an ability to pull out of this golus. And that is why, says the Sephardim, the Yetzirah used, the Satan used, that vision of rabbis misbehaving to shake Yaakov up and says, you haven't got a future, you don't have a hope. There are people who misbehave. It cannot be justified. It cannot be justified. And these people and the Chil Hashem that comes out of Talmid Chachamim misbehaving is incredible. And the tshuva is extremely difficult. But that does not in any way mirror what the Jewish nation is. You don't take two or three Rabbonim who unfortunately did this or did that or some kind of money laundering scam or this or child abuse or who knows, terrible, terrible things. But that does not represent what rabbis are. It does not represent who the Jewish people are. We have so many thousands of people who are completely dedicated to Hashem and His Torah. And what the Yetzer Hara is, he makes the internet and he can just spread it all over the world and he can just tell, look at this rabbi, and he can just use the media. He has it all at his disposal to try and show out what Rabbonim are. Ki'ilu. What Jewish leadership is. Ki'ilu. He takes this weakness, this small weakness, and tries to crack open the dam. And this is another ability of the Yetzer Hara, and that is another fight that we have to overcome that primitive vision of one or two or three or 10 or 15 Rabbonim. Nebuch had the struggle and unfortunately they missed out, but that is not the Jewish nation, that is not the leadership. We have strong leadership and we may not chas v'shalom fall because of that. That's a Sephardim. Two very more quick Divrei Torah, okay? The Pasuk says, your name is Yaakov. Kisoris im Elohim im Anoshim Vatuchal. And you fought with a Malach and Anoshim and people, Noshim plural, Vatuchal, and you won. Who's Anoshim? Which two people did Yaakov struggle against? Esav and Lavan, says Rashi. Lavan, he dealt with in the past. Very difficult few years he managed. Esav, he hasn't even seen him. He hasn't even seen him. Look, later on he meets him. How can you say he won against Lavan and Esav? He hasn't even seen Esav. How can you say he won against people? He hasn't touched him. He hasn't seen him. What's going on over here? Briskarov says a fantastic story. Briskarov said in Tovshin Ein during the Second World War, he was living in Vilna. Tovshin. He's living in Vilna. And Vilna at that time was taken over by the Russians. And the Russians came to commandeer the city and they took their hand-picked houses and they said anyone whose house has been picked out that is necessary to hand over to the army is going to be taken over by the army. They have a command to take over these houses and that's it. You have to move out and they'll give you a replacement house somewhere else. Yeah, this replacement house is in the middle of some broken down hut in the middle of the gulag, in the middle of some forest somewhere. That is your house. I'll send you there. The Briskarov's house, he lived in a beautiful house. The Russian officials came and said, we need this house. And they gave him a house in the middle of the forest somewhere with no communication, with no transportation, middle of nowhere. And his family were broken. So he went to the Briskarov and they said to him, what are we going to do? He said, Parshas Vayishach, this week's Parsha. And he brought this pasuk. And he said, what does it mean over here? Im anoshim v'tuchal. What do you mean he won over people and Tuchal? He didn't. He only won over Lavan so far. Esau had even started with. So he said, the fact that he won over his Malach, the fact that he won the war in Shemayim, automatically means he'll win the war down here too. If you can fight in Shemayim, if you can get your point through in Shemayim, then you've known you're guaranteed you're going to win down here as well. He said, what we have to do now is not deal with governments and officials and bribe and this and that. We've got to daven, we've got to do mitzvahs, we've got to get the schusim in order to make sure that we win in Shemayim, and automatically we'll win down here. And he davened and he learned and he did mitzvahs and whatever it was, what the family did. And one after the other, if the officers came and looked at the house, and he said, no, we don't want it. And off they went. Another one, no. For no reason, no apparent reason, doesn't make sense. And eventually said, you know what, you can have your house back, and he had the house back. Imanosh Matuchel means, it teaches us, that we don't have to fight the Yetzer Hara down here, we have to fight the Yetzer Hara up there. We've got to make sure that we are stronger and better in Shemayim, and automatically they will fight the war for us. One last of our Torah, a beautiful, beautiful vote I've heard from Chaim Kaufman, Rebbe Gateshead. He says, the Malach says to him, let me go, Ke'ola Ashacha, let me go, because the time has come for me to say Shira, Rashi says. I'm going to say Shira. So the Yenisim and Azil, listen to the Yenisim and Azil. The Oma, Shadroni Arum Salik Amud, let me go. Umotu Shat, the Malachim Roima Meshabchin Amora Alma. It's a time for Malachim to say Shevach to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Va'ano and I, Chad min Malachim Meshabcha, I am one of the Malachim that give Shevach. Umeyoim de Ispiri Alma, for the day the world was created, Leimotu Zimna Leshabcha, the time has not come for me to give praise. Elohon hodozimna, until today. And therefore let me go. Good one. How convenient. He's got the Yetzer Hara in a headlock. Yeah, he's been around since the time of Adam Arishon, right? Thousands of years, right? He's got him in a headlock. Oh, sorry, got to do my sock draw. Yeah, this happens to be the first time ever he's got to go and say Shira to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Do me a favor. Pull the other one. Yeah, now is the time to say Shira. How convenient. So the void is its role. The Yetzer Hara has a purpose. A Malach cannot say Shira until he's fulfilled his obligations. What is the purpose of the Yetzer Hara? To destroy you. Is the Yetzer Hara there to completely destroy the world? It's not. The Yetzer Hara has a purpose to try and destroy you, in order to challenge you, to make you stronger. But ultimately, the real purpose of the Yetzer Hara is to make you stronger, that you should win over him and get schar for doing that. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu created the Malach HaMalchus, and created the Satan. But did not create a world, you know, of automatic sin. That's Christian. Yeah, it's sin, and you know, it's out to get you. It's not, it's out to strengthen you. And the Yetzer Hara is out there to overcome you and overpower you in order to attempt to win over you. But if you win over him, then that is a real purpose of his creation. A Malach only says Shira when he has fulfilled his obligation, when he's done his duty. There's never been a time in history until that day that the Malach HaMoves can say to Rabbeinu Shleilam, I have done what I needed to do. Here we have a human being who I challenged and I fought with, and I Avka Imoy, dust went to the Kisei HaKovod, and he won over me, and he's stronger because of it. I have fulfilled my obligation. HaKosh Baruch Hu can now say, okay, now I can say Shira. That is why I can say Shira. It was not an excuse. It was a reason why I can say Shira, because Yaakovin had him in a headlock. Ah, you've won me now? Oh, now I can go along and say Shira. So as we said, the Yetzer Hara is all about destroying Torah. He's about, because without Torah, he has a survival. With Torah, he does not have a survival. He has every ability. He can destroy the world finances. He can destroy the reputation of the Rabbanim. He can look like somebody who has Rachmanus on you. He can come with all different guises. He's out there to destroy you. He can destroy the support of Torah. That is a war today. Keeping Torah going. Building and building and building. The way we have to do it is to work in the Shemayim. If we can possibly strengthen ourselves in our Yirah Shemayim, in our Tefillah, in our Avodas Hashem, in our Torah, then we will win over any challenge. And that winning of the challenge is ultimately the real Ratzon Hashem, and even the Ratzon of the Yetzer Hara, to become stronger and to become better and to become greater and better Jews.